So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé UK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing Season 8, Episode 4 of Happily Ever After. In this episode, Nicole and Mahmoud argue about the way she dresses again, Rob shows up to meet Callum and generally be a terrible party guest, Gino gets told that Jasmine might be serious about going back to Panama this time, Ashley and Manuel go to church and then head out to the wrong city, Kobe defends Emily but does a bad job explaining it, and Ed sits down to talk with Liz's mom. We'll be back again next week to talk about Episode 5. Alright, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy!
Hello, Mr. O.
Hello, Miss H.
How are you today?
I'm not bad on Eclipse Day. I don't know. I don't think you got as much eclipse as I did.
We did not. It was funny because one of my students was like, did you know that today was a solar eclipse? I was like, yes, I knew.
We knew because it was like, and mine was, so we were in like, the region we were was like 90%, right? Which is not, it's like 90% of the sun was covered, which makes it like 9% is awesome. Like, as if it's a total eclipse, right? But it was still like, you know, they wanted the kids out of school and they got the little glasses and they stared up at it. And the sun looked like a crescent. But it was like, there was way too much. Like, there were teachers who were hand-wringing, we need a half day because the kids are going to just go run outside and stare at the sun. And what are we going to do? It's an emergency. And it was like, let's pump the brakes, teachers. Like, hold on.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, like, my one student who asked me if I knew was the only one who said anything to me about it. And we were in class when it was, you know, prime, I guess, for our area. And no one said anything. No, you know, I didn't even have a student who, you know, they always kind of try get away with stuff. Like, can we go outside and see it? I was surprised that I didn't have any of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But we were off on it. But you know who I feel like would actually just stare at the sun on the eclipse? Pretty much everybody on this season. Like all
of
them.
Yeah.
Would be sun starers.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And let's start with who would definitely stare at the sun. Let's start at Ashley Manuel. That seemed to be very much.
Yep.
I feel like she would have strong thoughts about the eclipse for sure.
Oh, gosh.
So we start off with Ashley and Manuel. She's like dancing in the car and he's excited because they're on their way to church. And it's going to be Ashley's first time in a Catholic church. And she's like, I have nothing, no ideas of what's in a Catholic church. So Manuel hopes it's going to help her lose some of her inner demons, maybe like, you know, exercise those witchiness, maybe. And so they get to the parish, which is My Lady Perpetual Help. And he wants to show her, you know, how different his Catholic faith is than what she participates in. So she says, like, you know, as a witch, she deals with a lot of former Catholics who have a lot of religious trauma. So then they do like something I've never done in a Catholic church and I've been to it a bunch of times and sit in the first pew. Like that first pew is like the no, don't sit in the front of the bus. What are you doing? So they get through and Ashley feels very out of place once the mass begins. And it's an English mass. I thought it was going to take her to a Spanish mass, but it was an English mass. And it makes her kind of understand the way she feels out of place, how her everything must make him feel all the time, like her witching and saging and things. Right. So they get through the whole mass, they're giving the sign of peace. And Ashley she's just like making faces at everything, including the fact that she's like at one point, what's that book? And he's like, a Bible. And she's like, oh, big eyes. Like, what book did you think was in the church?
You must know something about it. I mean, it's a pretty popular religion. Like, yeah, come on now.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. That's where I'm going to start with my question. But anyway, mass is over and she seems to have some thoughts that she's not sharing. And she's just like, it was very, very interesting. Then, clearly arranged by production, the friggin' deacon comes up to talk to them. So she tells him that she also works in spirituality and throws a bunch of like stuff. I do tarot and I do astrology and I do stuff I've never heard of. I don't know. And the deacon says he doesn't know much about all that, but some of those things we can't tolerate in the Christian faith. So he speaks, I think, wildly out of pocket for the entire Catholic Church and says that their relationship won't work until she stops doing these things that are dark side things. So Manuel asks for some advice about how to talk about these kind of things when they go to visit his family. So Vatican says, maybe don't throw everything at them all at once. Let's just kind of hold some stuff back and just let it flow out as it comes out. not what Ashley wanted to hear, because that is more or less what Manuel is telling her to do. And now she feels like she's going to have to hide who she is. So the next scene, they're getting ready to go on this trip to New York, and she's showing all the dress options to him, including one dress that makes her look too old and a sparkly dress that makes her look too young. That's too young for you. So she's been increasingly nervous about this family accepting her since they went to the church. So she doesn't want to hide who she is, but she thinks it might not even come up, because it's not like she goes around saying, "Hi, nice to meet you. I'm a witch," which I think she actually does. She literally did it to the deacon.
I feel like she has been doing that since we've met her.
Yeah. So the next day, it's time to hit the road, and they talk like plans. On day one, they're going to meet with Manuel's friend Jonathan, and on day two, they're going to meet with his family, who she's like, "Okay, well, what is their address?" And he's like, "Newark? Newark?
Oh, gosh. Newark?"
And she's like, "Wait, Newark and not Nueva York?" And he's like, "Newark?" And she's like, "That's not the same city. Newark is in New Jersey."
Oh, poor guy.
It's going to be a challenge, because I feel they're flying from Rochester and they're not even flying to Newark. And that's the thing I think she was most mad about. It's like, there's a huge airport in that city that we're not flying to now. Right. So they're flying to one of the other airports. But anyway, we soon get her talking about it again, about how she's nervous. They'll judge her. And then when she tells them what she does for work, and he's like, "Well, that's pretty simple. Just don't tell them. Like, just think before you open your mouth." So she's starting to get the feeling that he doesn't really want her to express herself. And he's like, "Yeah, now you get the picture. You're getting the idea." That's right. All right. So like I said, I would ask about it. Let's go back. Like, I understand that you've never been to a Catholic mass before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's been in so many movies and TV shows and things. You have an idea what a Catholic church or a Christian church in general is like.
I don't even know if you have an idea of what they're like, but you at least have like some of the major symbols that are representative of the church, like the Bible, the crucifix. Like,
sure.
I think you got the basics, right? Like, if you just saw a cross, you'd be like, "What is that?" It's like, how have you not paid attention and seen that somewhere?
It's like going to a synagogue and being like, "Why do they have that big star up there? What's that all about?"
So it just makes no sense. I feel like she was definitely playing up how clueless she was. Mm. And quite honestly, I thought it was kind of an interesting thing for them to do, because, like, as you said, the mass was not in Spanish. And so I feel to some extent Manuel was equally as confused what was going on as Ashley, but just in a different way.
I mean, I actually think, and my partner brought this up when we were watching it, that's actually probably a good way for him to learn English, because the mass is the same, right?
Yes.
It's like when you say the things and he knows what that means in Spanish. So now we hear it in English and you get the routine of it down. It might not be the worst thing to help him get a little English down, to hear stuff that he already knows what it is.
Yeah, but how often are you using words like peace?
And your spirit.
and spirit, like, in your daily life, you know, that's not going to help you when you're trying to order, rice and chicken.
Rice and chicken, and I know how to say, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world." Can we work that into conversation somewhere?
But I did appreciate her patience, like, when they were figuring out the New York situation, right? And I felt bad for the guy, because that is a totally innocent mistake. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the country, you don't know that area, you don't realize it, because they sound the same. And I'm sure his family is, you know, the one saying it. If he saw it written down, I don't even know if I saw it written down that I would recognize, you know, if I didn't speak the language, like, "Oh, these are two different things."
Or like, "Oh, they must like spell it this weird way where they just like mash it into one word. I thought it was New York, but apparently it's Newark." Like, okay. Yeah. Like, I can see that, like, not knowing the country that well.
Right.
But the problem is it, they already booked an Airbnb in Queens or something. Like, wouldn't you check the address of where you're going before you book? Because New York City is big. Like, what if they, even if it wasn't Newark, right?
Right.
And it was like New York City. What if he was like, "Yeah, it's in Staten Island." He's like, "Now we have to take a ferry? Like, what is this? This is like..."
Honestly, I could see her, Ashley, just being like, "Well, let's just pick whatever's the cheapest in the area," and him just going along with that plan, you know?
I would pick something central, because I imagine I'm at least giving him the benefit of the doubt and saying, since they're saying with his friend Jonathan or meeting with Jonathan, they're at least somewhere in Jonathan's neighborhood.
Yeah. Right?
That's what they picked it based on. But it's like, it's wild to be like the address of where we're going as you are on the drive to the airport. That seems just crazy to me.
Well, I mean, does it seem like anything that these two do are actually planned?
No, but that's what's like indicative of their whole relationship and their whole personality styles. Right. Like, when will we figure this out? Immediately before it's done. Like, when's the time to figure out when to tell his kids? I don't know, like sometime after we get married, I guess, whenever it happens. Like, those are the things that they always are just flying by the seat of their pants for everything. And they wonder why everything's so stressful all the time. And it's like, well, this is why.
They are not the only ones. There are other couples that go through their lives flying by the seat of their pants. And I would say another couple that is kind of in the same boat is Gino and Jasmine. Mm-hmm. So Jasmine is shipping a package to her kids in Panama, and Jasmine is upset that Gino has been ignoring her and she's never felt more alone. Michelle, Dana's wife, meets her at the packing place. Michelle has brought a dinosaur mask because that's what Jasmine's son just really wanted. Jasmine tells Michelle that things haven't been easy because Gino messed up the visa paperwork. Michelle immediately advises her to get a lawyer. And then Jasmine's like, yeah, no duh. And she's in tears saying that it might be 2 years, and she says that she wants to go back home. Michelle doesn't want her to go, and she thinks that if it's up to Gino to do everything, he should do everything he can to get her kids there. She wonders if Gino understands how important this is to Jasmine. Michelle wants to talk to Dana, her husband, to talk to Gino to convince him to get a lawyer. Jasmine doesn't want to put stress on Michelle and Dana's relationship, but she is thankful for the support and hopes that Dana can convince Gino to get a lawyer. Later, Dana and Gino are taking a joyride, and this is supposed to be after, you know, Michelle has met with Jasmine. So Gino admits that he messed up on the visa, but he doesn't like how Jasmine is acting ungrateful. Dana is washing the car with Gino, and he tells us that he wants to get Gino to realize that with Gino's lack of wanting to get a lawyer, it could cost his relationship. Gino thinks that it's also her fault because they are her kids, which I'm like, what the hell kind of logic is that? Gino is also really offended that she said that he's not fit to be a father. Dana tries to get him to see that 2 years is a really long time not to see her kids, especially at the age that they're at. Gino counters that it would be 8 months even if he did everything right. Dana says that getting the kids over there should be the highest priority and that Jasmine will seriously leave for Panama if this doesn't happen. Gino, he doesn't think that's serious and he's just not taking her threats, like, seriously. Dana says that it's different this time because she told Michelle. Dana thinks that she would do it because she misses her kids enough, and it's really not about the mistake or even how she feels about Gino. Gino is kind of shocked to hear this, and he's scared that she would go back. He says it would be devastating if the whole visa process was wasted. Gino and Jasmine are going to meet with their wedding photographer. Jasmine says that things haven't really changed since Gino met with Dana, and Gino is still acting really distant. The photographer brings out the album of their wedding, and Jasmine gets teary-eyed. They both praise all the pictures they see, and Jasmine comments on how happy she looks as she starts to cry and apologizes for her hair. It ends up that Jasmine's stress is really affecting her alopecia, so she has a visible bald spot. Jasmine cries and says that she was so happy and hopeful. She says that she feels different now and that she actually gets overwhelmed and she needs a moment to herself as she cries and leaves. Gino thanks the photographer and also leaves to go after her. Jasmine considers herself a failure. She wanted to tell her kids that, you know, they could be there, but now she's going to have to tell them that they can't come to the U.S. because she's failed. Gino calls after Jasmine and tries to catch up to her. All right. So we kind of get a little bit of insight from Gino. Apparently, mm-hmm. He's never believed that she's actually going to go back to Panama. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I wouldn't believe it either, because by the time we got to I'm going to go back to Panama, mm-hmm. How many times has she threatened to break up send him back to the U.S.? Like, there's been already so many threats to end mm-hmm. this that I'm going to go back to Panama is just the new empty threat that she's been throwing at him, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, I would also probably never not believe it, because how many times has she said, we're done, this is over, I'm done with you, I'm not going to get married, and now they're married, and they're here, and she came, and like, so I would believe, Because, I mean, she's also overuses the threat. I mean, we're talking now about her kids, but it's always like, you didn't wash the dishes, I'm going back to Panama. Like, and so, I wouldn't believe it either.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer that, you know, she doesn't have any leverage with the truth, you know, because he's not taking it seriously. But, oh my gosh, I think Gino is just being super unreasonable. How is it her fault just because they're her kids?
Well, I mean, I think what he meant to say, which is still an asshole thing to say, is at the end of the day, ultimately, her kids are her responsibility and not mine. And so if she wanted to do stuff with her kids, she shouldn't have even left it in my hands. But, like, he's still an asshole, right? Because, like, the word that came up was like, yes, I messed up and the kids could have gotten here earlier, but earlier than 2 years, but it was going to be 8 months anyway. And by the way, she should stop being ungrateful. Like, ungrateful for what? Like,
that's still 14 months. Like,
right.
Well, what? I'm doing the math wrong. 16 months without her kids, like 16 months longer. You know, it's like, how is it her fault?
And this, but the same thing I went last time. It's like, it's just infuriating to hear him be, yeah, I messed up. And yeah, she's going to have to miss basically the last years of childhood for her children. But why does she have to be so ungrateful about everything I've done? Like, did you miss the first part of the before the butt, which is like the part where she doesn't get to see her kids and you want her to be grateful to you for that? Like, what? I'm very confused about what he thinks. Why he thinks she should be grateful about anything.
I know. I mean, I hate to back her up. And I know she said it just to be hurtful. So it's like hard to, you know, really kind of take it seriously. But I think she's onto something. He really is not in a place where he can be a father. If he's not willing to sacrifice to financially pay for, you know, the children's well-being and their best interest, like assuming that, you know, the best interest is for them to be connected with their mother. But, you know, it's just like you are unwilling to do anything about this. Like, that isn't very fatherly of you. And I agree with her. But I also feel like she said it out of anger and just to be hurtful. Mm-hmm. And so it's like it hurts, but I also feel like there's an element of him that's not taking it seriously.
Well, I mean, everything about this is screaming like this guy should not be a father, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, especially what I was saying about, is he going to be the kind of father who royally fucks up something for his kids and then says, well, yeah, but why aren't you more grateful? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, is he going to do the same thing to his kids that he's doing to her, right? And it's like, I'm not even convinced seeing like Dana like interact with him that Dana's not like, yeah, dude, like this is not like you are not thinking about this right. Like, I don't know. I don't even think that Dana thinks he should be a father. He was like,
right. You know, I know.
The fact that he was just like, no, you don't get it. They're her kids. You don't get it. And if you don't get it, you don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to assume that Dana has kids.
Yeah, but
we don't really know. But I mean, Gino, it makes me feel even more sick about it because Gino so desperately wants children of his own. But you can't even take care of the kids you have.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, there's, yeah, right. The best way to show that you can have a kid of your own, you be a good father to the kids of your own, is to do what you can and be a good father to the kids that are there already. Yeah. And he's just blatantly running away from that and is like, oh, who gives a shit about your kids? We're going to get pregnant now. Like, that's
Let's have some of my kids now. It's just like, ew.
Yeah, it's very ew. And it's, I mean, but the person I feel the most sorry for in this whole thing was that poor wedding photographer.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how often that happens, but you expect it's like, let's look at your pictures. And I guess sometimes people are upset with the pictures, right? They're like, I wanted it to be better. This isn't what I was expecting. I'm upset. But just to have like bringing people in to see the proofs of their wedding pictures and having them be basically on the brink of divorce, like already with her just bawling into tears. She's just like, oh, God, no, this is so awkward for me.
Yeah. I mean, OK, as much as Jasmine has cried wolf so many times, I feel like there's some element of realism here because Jasmine has a legit bald spot.
Oh, yeah, she does. It is definitely a noticeable bald spot. Yes.
Right.
That is,
and so it's just like, OK,
related alopecia. Yep. Sure.
Stress related alopecia. And it's like, I feel bad for her. Like, I don't know. It's like, I think if she didn't have something physical to really, like, physical evidence that she's going through something, I would be a little bit more skeptical just based on what we've seen historically with this couple.
So she either has that or she's very committed to the craft and shaved a bald spot into her hair.
I don't even know if you could really shave a bald spot that's that good. You really have to start pulling out your hair. And there are some people that do that, like pick at their hair and like pull it out because they're stressed or nervous. Oh, yes. And it's that, like that's a,
there's a whole name for that. It's a big long name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's, but she's so vain. I don't see her doing that to herself.
Yeah. It does. It doesn't fit with the person who got the fake ass and the fake boobs and the lip filler to then go and be like, yeah, but I also pulled some of my hair out. Like, yeah.
Right.
Just to make it look more convincing that I was really under stress. Right. Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so moving on, let's go to Ed and Liz. We didn't see too much of them. So we see Ed and Liz, and they're going to be at a 4th of July pool cookout. I guess it's at their house. So Liz's family is going to come over. So they have a grill and some potentially dangerous fireworks. And Liz is nervous about the chat that her mom said she wanted to have with Ed. So everyone seems to be having a good time, being awful, just terrible at cornhole. Like, they keep trolling him playing cornhole and he like doesn't even hit the board. It's just really bad. And eating their potato tofu tacos before her family gets there. So Ed recognizes that it's going to take a while for him to get Eliza's mom's support, and he also recognizes how important getting that support is. So Ed's mom is also in town, and we are reminded that this is somebody else that was literally out of Ed's life, being like, if you're going to date this woman, I can't talk to you anymore. Like, we're done for a while. So after Ed grabs some food, Liz's mom, Patty, pulls him aside for a chat. So they get to a private spot and asks him about – she's like, you seem like you're tense around me all the time. So she starts to talk about what her concerns are, and then he completely just does not let her finish a sentence. And he's like, before you start that, let me say what I have to say.
That's very typical Ed.
You're very typical Ed, right? So anyway, what he says is, you know, saying all the things she's supposed to say. He's supposed to say, he understands, like he makes some excuses for why he used to treat Liz the way he did. Pretty much says he's a changed man and everything's better now after the last resort therapy. And, Patty says she's still on the fence because, you know, at the end of the day, she hears Liz's side of every story and not his. So she sees he likes him and, you know, maybe he has made a lot of growth, but this might be able to work. But also, he likes to talk a lot. So things went okay, right? But he still is like, this is not the end. I have a lot of work to do and stuff like that. So then they light up some roadside fireworks and do some sparklers. And we're sitting here hoping for the best.
God.
So, I mean, do you kind of get the same feeling now that it's just like there's just a veneer over Ed of like, oh, I know the right things I'm supposed to say. Yeah, and I'm just trying to keep it in check. But underneath, he's still Ed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like he always does this, right? He always says the right things. I mean, to everyone, even to Liz, right? Mm-hmm. So that way she'll forgive him. She'll take him back, whatever it is. He says all the right things. And then he literally turns around and he's the same jackass that he always has been, that he always will be. Mm-hmm. Because he has this mentality like, you need to love me for who I am. I'm not going to change for anyone. This is who I am. And it's like, okay, we get it. Like, you're an asshole. Like, he's never going to change.
No, he's not going to change. And it's just it's such a weird, like, thing. It's like, you need to love me for who I am. I'm an asshole. Whatever. The assholishness of my nature is too much for you to take. And so I'm not going to change, but we still deserve each other and I still want to be with you. It's that whole push and pull thing that I don't get. It's like, you need to love me no matter what. Like I guess at the end of the day, it's just entitlement. I am entitled to your love. And even breaking up is like, no, you shouldn't do that because, you know, we love each other and blah, blah, blah. And then does enough to get her back. But then clearly just is. Yeah, it just feels like he's always just like, okay, well, I messed up X amount. So now I have to put on the mask and pretend for a certain amount of time until I can just relax and be me again, which is a jerk who doesn't even let the mom finish the sentence, the question she was going to ask. Like that was – and that's what kind of is like, oh, no, he's still the same dude, like right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He sucks. Yeah. I mean, one can only hope that he has exhausted all possible. You know, if him and Liz are truly broken up, divorced, like it seems like mm-hmm. they are, it's like, is there another iteration of the show that he could be on that we would be forced to be like exposed to them?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that's what...
Because they've already done Single Life. Right, they've
well, they
already
got
done
together on Single Life. That's why they're the only yeah. person, only couple where there's not a foreigner. Because they did it through Single yeah. Life.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, because I'm thinking about, like, even Gino Jasmine, right? There's a strong rumor out there that they're going to be on the next Last Resort. So, I mean, they still have Last Resort. They still have Single Life. Like, we could keep going on with these two. And it's just like, we need to stop. We're done with Gino and Jasmine. We're done with Ed and Liz. Like,
I strongly feel that there should be a very hard 3-season limit for everyone.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You get a before the 90 days, you get a 90 day fiance, you get a happily ever after. Done. That's it. After that, okay. You're done.
I would be okay with a 90 day diary, like a catch up, sure. You know?
But one episode, not a season. You're right. In one episode right. of your, yeah, sure. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I think we're nearing the end with Angela and Michael.
Ooh,
I mean,
there's some suspicions here that she got fired and they're not going to be on this season.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, it really is the end of Angela and Michael then. So,
yeah,
I mean,
because there's like she took TLC out of her like Instagram handle and like it's hard to find any when you look up the 90 day happily ever after stuff that her picture isn't there. And it's, but since mm-hmm. after all this weird legal stuff about Michael claiming he was being kidnapped that came up and it was right. like, ugh. Yeah. So yeah. we cross okay. fingers. Well, we might not actually see her this season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope it doesn't come down to, you know, legal issues for these couples where we don't have to see them anymore. I hope we just don't have to see yes. them anymore.
I don't want everybody to have to get arrested before we
right.
before
or
they'll finally be like,
abused
all
right. or anything. Right.
Right.
Okay. Speaking of, let's move on to Nicole and Mahmood. So Nicole is convinced that Mahmood wants to be with someone else like the Muslim girl he saw. She sees that his eyes lit up once he saw her, and Nicole is sensitive because he has a history of chatting up other women. Is he the one that was like chatting up that random Chinese person trying to sell a TV?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, mm-hmm. gosh. Okay. So Nicole just wishes that she got the same attention he gave the random person. She calls Mahmood after he's walked off, and he says that he's going to go back. He says he's not going to be treated like this. Nicole says that he can't just be by himself in a city that he doesn't know. Nicole feels like her behavior is just bottled up frustration spilling over. She can't imagine if this would fall apart after just one day. So Nicole convinces him to walk back to her. She immediately chastises him for jaywalking. Nicole says that if he wants an Arab woman, then he should go back. And Mahmood says that he never made eyes at the other woman. And he tells us in the interview that he would never do something that rude. And he was just simply surprised to see a woman in a hijab. He tells her in the car that he only came to the U.S. to be with her. Nicole admits that she may have overreacted and says that it's because she doesn't feel his excitement about being there. She recognizes that she needs to have more patience with him and she commits to making it work. Mahmood says that he will need to work on it too. Nicole does warn him that she has her eye on him. Back at the apartment, Mahmood is praying and Nicole is winding up some wool. Nicole revisited the argument from the day before, and Nicole says that she's worried that he just wants someone to completely cover up, and she cannot be someone traditional like that. Nicole is trying to respect herself and her identity without disrespecting him. Mahmood says that he likes traditional because it just doesn't make him, like, uncomfortable. He points out that she's wearing short sleeves, which to him is a compromise because he wouldn't prefer that she show her arms at all. Nicole says that Mahmood can be as religious as he wants to be, but she wants to decide for herself. She wants to take things step by step and they can discuss as they go along. Mahmood says that's fine, but that will be difficult for him. Mahmood thought they were going to try and compromise, not just change everything to her side. Later, Nicole is getting dressed up for a dinner with her friends. Mahmood accused her of being immodest with her choice of dress, and now he's refusing to talk to her. She asks him if he's going to go to the dinner because her friends are expecting both of them. Mahmood says that he doesn't want to. He says it's not fair for her to expect him to be American just after 2 days. Nicole thinks it's important for him to be exposed to American culture, and she's hoping that will make him loosen up a bit. She's not sure what it would take. Nicole says that he's crazy and that this is her home. Mahmood says that's okay, that she can just do what she wants. Nicole says that this is the reason she struggled in Egypt, and so he says, fine, divorce. Nicole wants him to accept her for her and not police her behavior and threaten divorce. And then we get a little montage of all the times that he's threatened divorce. All right. So I get generally what she's trying to do. She's really trying to get him kind of immersed in the American culture. So that way he'll like kind of see the things that she does as kind of normalized, right?
Sure. Okay.
But instead, what's happening is she's just shocking the hell out of him.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so it's not going according to plan. So what do you think would be kind of a, knowing what we know of them, like a good plan to kind of ease him into accepting some American culture and not just like culture shocking him?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you have to go through his religion, right? You have to you have to show him the thing that he was most interested in when you took him out, that the fact that there are other Muslims here.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
Like, and especially if you can find some sort of expat community for him, you know, of people of Egypt. It's LA. I'm sure you can find a lot of people who moved from Egypt.
Oh, sure.
At some point, right.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
And so you find that people, and then they can talk to him. They'll talk to him about what was different. What was it like? Oh, here's what I missed. Here's like, and, but you have to find him other Muslim people, other Egyptian people, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the issues that they both have is they don't want to share each other. Like, she doesn't want him with other people with her not around. And he doesn't really want her with other people with him not around. Like, they're both very possessive of each other. Like, especially the way she totally flipped out and reacted, like, when he looked at this Muslim woman. And, like, as I suspected, he was just like, yeah, I was very interested. Well, there's something from home. I didn't expect to see that. Like, and we were like, that's probably why he was looking at her. And but the way she reacted with that, I don't imagine she would react well at all to him being like talking about the people he met. He was talking to at mosque or in, you know, the social group after mosque and talking about like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so. And if there were ever any women there, she'd just be like, oh, is that what it is? Well, if you just want to go have sex with her, you should just do that instead. Why are you even with me? Right. You know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how she could deal with that. Whereas, but I think that would be the best option is you have to give him at least a little bit of taste of home.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with him that, you know, it seems like she's kind of like, you're in my house now, you know, and
yes,
like,
for sure.
Here are my rules and, you know, definitely has taken it to the extreme. I think these people need to go into therapy or some kind of counseling because I don't know if either of them know what compromise looks like in this situation and they really need help facilitating that.
Yeah. I mean, because it was to the point where he was like, your short sleeves are a compromise.
Yeah.
Right. And I get where she's coming from. It is incredibly frustrating to hear like my religion is very important to me, which means you need to wear different clothes. Like, what does your religious practice have to do with me at all? Like, that's the part where she's stuck on and the part that they literally have argued about almost every episode they've been on the show.
Yeah. And this is what I don't understand is like, if this is so important to you, if religion is so important to you, this is not the woman you should have married. Like, I kind of blame him. Like, you knew. But I mean, in
but
his
she knew
mind.
Too. Like, yeah.
But maybe she didn't. I mean, did she really know how religious
or how
he
stuck
is?
On these specific tenets of the religion he would be? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like in his situation, I just feel like you can't, he just thought, oh, well, she converted. So automatically she is going to see everything that I see, how I see it and, you know, believe everything that I believe and practice the religion in the same way that I practice the religion. And that's just not happening.
Right. Well, I mean, he definitely is also pretty sheltered, in that he's grown up in a specific place with the specific people who practice that religion in a specific way. That I feel like also getting him to have a little bit of exposure to Muslims in America who don't necessarily see everything the exact same way he sees it, and but still are Muslim. You know, it's a he needs that kind of expansion of like, oh, there are Muslim women who don't cover up here in America, and that doesn't, and getting them to realize that that doesn't make them not Muslim. And I don't know if he would believe that or not, but like, yeah, it, the idea of it, like, he's always been stuck on the way that I practice my religion is the only way that you can practice Islam. And I mean, from what I know about Christianity, that's definitely not true for any Christians either. And I highly doubt it's true for any Muslim.
Yeah. I just think Nicole is being also especially stubborn.
Oh, she definitely is. 100%.
And it seems like coming out of, I don't want to say coming out of nowhere, because she's already said, built up frustration. But it's like you were fully covered, hijab, everything when you were in Egypt. And it's like, would it kill you to do that here? Because her complaint about it in Egypt specifically was that it's too hot here. I cannot deal with the heat and wearing all these clothes.
Yeah.
LA, much cooler. You know, like, would it kill you to wear it like for a couple days when he's there just to make him feel comfortable and then ease in?
Yeah, and I just – every time she does it, she always specifically does something that she knows is going to needle him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then says it. And this time it was that outfit with her quote-unquote back showing, right? Where it was like three tiny – like between the buttonholes on like three things, right? And I don't believe for a second that she thought she wasn't pushing his limits on that.
Oh, right? Sure.
Like, she definitely was. And she wanted to do it in such a way where the rest of her was very covered. And so she's like, oh, my God, look how covered I am. And you're worried about that? Oh, my God, you monster. Right? But and I think she's stubborn about it, too, because she's the one who brings up the clothes all the time.
Yeah.
He actually doesn't bring it up that much. I mean, he might have a comment here or there, but she went from nowhere. She went from, you looked at a woman in a hijab. And I'm just going to, like, set that out right now and saying, I'm not going to cover up. She brought it up. He didn't even bring it up.
Yeah, I mean, how hard is it to throw on a sweater? I mean, isn't that the same thing that we had between Muhammad and Eve? It's like he would have been fine. She just threw on a sweater.
Yeah, but I mean, I it's just if that's going to be the deal breaker, you're just not going to be able to deal with someone telling you wearing a sweater, not because you wanted to wear a sweater, but because your husband wanted you to wear a sweater. If that's not the kind of person you are, then why on earth did you marry this person?
Right. Exactly.
Crazy. Speaking of why on earth did you marry this person, let's go to Sophie and Rob.
Oh, gosh. So
we see Sophie and her friends. They're hanging out by the pool and drinking and talking about going two-stepping like she did with Robin last episode. So Sophie tells them that Rob was actually really sweet for once. So now he's going to be invited to this pool party. And this is where her hot friend Callum is going to come later on. So they think the friends are kind of talking and they think that people can change and things could work, but Rob has to want to do it. Then they talk about how Callum is coming in and how maybe, do you think maybe he has a crush on you because he's traveling all this way just to see you. So a bit later, Rob shows up and is trying to be nice, but admitting to us, like, he's like, oh, hey, this is the last thing I want to be doing right now because people are going to judge him. And he thinks she's hooking up with Kay and now is going to try to hook up with Callum, who's – and then he's so – oh, my God. He's so transparent. He pretends not to remember his name. He's like, her friend, like, Colin. I mean, is it Colin? Is it Hulk? Maybe it's – oh, yeah, Callum. Callum. I think it was Callum. Like, you know exactly what that dude's name is. It's etched into your freaking vision. So anyway, he doesn't like that he's coming all the way out here from England to hang out with his wife. What is that? That's nonsense. Bad vibes. So anyway, they all move on and sit down and ask for kind of his side of the story about what's going on. And he, for a minute, talks about how he was falling short in his relationship and now he's trying to do more to get out of his comfort zone. That no more specific by what he did wrong than falling short. And now he's trying to do a little bit more by stretching out of his comfort zone, you know, like meeting up with her dude friend, which is he says is legitimate. It's legitimate for him to feel this way about him because, you know, every time a woman broke up with me, I always hooked up with her best friend afterwards. So you definitely have to worry about the best friend. He's just a snake. So they accuse him of being a jealous and insecure person. And then And they kind of cut to the point where he comes in. Callum comes in, right? And then gives, I feel like he gave Sophie like the most platonic hug. Like it was one arm, touching back, like chests really far apart. he may have gone in for like a cheek kiss, but there was none of that either. So Rob is already like, as soon as he sees him, he's like, that guy's hot. He's a snake. I don't like it. So God. He does shake Callum's hand when he comes in, but he starts in on like just staring at Callum and is like, I don't like this guy. He looks smug. He thinks he's better than me. There's only so much a guy can take about this. So
my gosh.
He doesn't believe for one second that he doesn't want to get Sophie. Like he's only here to try to steal Sophie away from me. So Callum and Sophie start to reminisce about their travels together in Portugal when she was his wingman. So in an interview, he talks about how he cares about Sophie and wants to make sure she ends up with the right guy. So, you know, he's going to try to get to know Rob better. Then when their conversation back with Rob, he casually drops that they did date for a little while when they first met, which is, by the way, when they were like 16. Now, granted, she's not that old anyway, but they were 16. And that's when Rob gets all mad about things. He's like, you didn't tell me that. Like, now you're the one who lied. You lied to me. So now he's going to try to turn this into, I cheated on you, but you lied to me and you didn't tell me that you dated this guy. And, you know, now things are probably going to be even, I guess. So anyway, she knows that he's upset. Sophie goes in to sit next to him, give him a hug. And she tells us that she didn't really think about mentioning it because it was such an insignificant time. It's not like they slept together or anything. And she doesn't even consider Callum to be an ex. So when Rob gets up to go to the bathroom, they all talk about how awkward this is. So Callum says this fits Sophie's pattern of really only wanting relationships with douchebags, and like whenever she gets into a relationship with a nice guy, she's like, I'm good. Break up. So then we find out, obviously, Rob didn't actually go to the bathroom. He's outside of the bar trying to get some air and trying to seethe about everything. So he doesn't know how they can just drop something like this on him and have it breeze by like it's nothing. So he comes back in to call Sophie outside for a talk, and that's kind of where we leave things off. All right. So if we're going on the scale of, you know, I guess 1 to 10. How bad is this omission that she dated this guy as a teenager?
It's not good, but at the same time, like, Rob, act like an adult.
Yes.
You know, like, the way he was kind of pouting around, it's like, dude, you're like 32. These are children. They're like 23, both of them.
Yes.
Her and Callum.
Uh-huh.
They're like babies compared to him. And it's just like, you're stomping around. You're like the adult in this like scenario. And it's just like, for him to be acting so petty and like ridiculous, you're just like, wow, grow up.
Right. I just am like, it just reminds me of like the worst people to have at a party are the couple that insists on having their fight at the party, and everybody else is just what's going on? Make this stop now.
Yeah.
Right? Just play it a little cool. Just be like, oh, y'all dated? She didn't tell me that. I didn't know that. Man, how would that go? Like, play it off. You can be mad, but you're old enough that you can put on your nice face and then later on be like, Sophie, what the fuck? You didn't tell me you dated. What the shit, man?
Yeah.
Like, and that, because it is a, I don't know that it's a legit thing to be like, it's a legit thing to be, it's suspicious because she made it suspicious, right?
Right, right. Because
like,
you omitted it.
Because you omitted
sure.
it. But him being like, this is the huge bomb, and how can I just maintain my composure when somebody drops something like this on me? I was like, man, this is not big enough that you completely lose your composure. Just be cool for a second.
Yeah, he's really, really incapable of that.
And it just makes no sense. Even like meeting the friends, like, you know that your relationship's going to improve if the relationship with the friends is better, right?
Right.
And so why show up to the friends and be like, I don't even want to be here. This is dumb. I don't want to meet her. See what I'm doing for her? I'm like talking to you guys. That's how much I care about being back with her. And it's like, why do you think this is going to endear you to them and like make your situation better at all?
No. And I mean, if he was just being somewhat reasonable, he would have seen that, like, they just didn't really seem to have any chemistry. Like, what is he jealous of exactly?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not like even their conversation talking about like, oh, yeah, when you used to be my wingman, like, oh, yeah, yeah. It didn't seem
it
like
it wasn't because they were trying to hook up. It was like, no, I was trying to help facilitate you hooking up with other people.
Right. But it's not like it's not like you could like cut the sexual tension between them with the knife.
No,
like,
absolutely
like,
not.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, they're just like, they even look like babies. And they said they dated as teenagers. So that's got to be at least 4 years ago, right? And it didn't seem like a serious relationship or anything like that.
Right. It just, and the other thing is like the problem with Rob is that he comes in and he, this person who is a decade his junior, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and is like, this guy's smug and he looks like he thinks he's better than me, right?
I think that's just his face.
Right. Well, I'm also just like, and he's 23, so who gives a shit if he thinks he's better than you? You're obviously, if you're a moratorium, if you didn't weren't so fucking insecure, then you wouldn't care that some 23-year-old douche thinks he's better than you. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't care. And also, like, in the whole grand scheme of things, it just doesn't freaking matter, you know? And most mature people get that, but right. Rob is not mature.
But Rob is also like, because Rob doesn't believe it, because Rob is like, he thinks he's better than me, and I think he might be right. Like, and that's where it comes. That's where the acting comes around.
That's where things fall apart.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our last couple, Emily and Kobe. So Kobe's getting a haircut with his friend Valerie and his other friend, who I kind of missed his name, discussing Kobe's marriage to Emily. Valerie says that he imagines his marriage is probably difficult, especially because African women are more submissive. Kobe says that Emily is naggy and wants to take the lead. Kobe just doesn't focus on that, and he doesn't want to restrict her from anything, and they really are a partnership. Another friend says that he can always count on his wife to have food when he gets home from work. Kobe says that that relationship works for his friends, but, you know, his relationship works for him. Kobe loves Emily, and he doesn't expect her to change, but he also hopes that she wins over his friends and makes a good impression. Kobe thinks that they aren't being fair, and he hopes that they just give her a fair chance because he wants the wedding to be celebratory. His friends just want the best for him, and they say that they care. Later, Kobe is taking Emily out on a date, and Emily thanks Kobe for opening the door for her, but then gets on his case about sitting up front in the taxi. They chat about Kobe's haircut, and Emily complains about being stuck at the hotel without him and the car, so they're truly stuck at the hotel. Emily then eats a very spicy piece of beef as Kobe just laughs at her reaction. Emily is mothering Kobe on using a napkin and keeping his shirt clean. Emily wants the scoop on the barbershop talk, and Kobe tells her that his friends are surprised that he married an American woman and moved to the U.S., and how they are concerned that Emily is bossy and questions if he'll be happy in the long term. Emily says it's like judging a book by its cover. She says that she's not bossy, she just gets things done. Kobe says of course he is happy and he defended her in front of his friends. Emily thinks that Kobe's friends are putting doubts in his head. Emily is being sarcastic, telling him that the date is super fun. All right, so what do you think about Kobe's thoughts on this? Do you think that he really is starting to get doubts?
No, absolutely not. Like, one of those things that just like this whole situation, I feel like in the barbershop, like – His friends were ragging on him, and he was like, nah, it's not like that. I'm happy with it the way it is and whatever. Like, I don't think it's – and it's a thing. And then he just did a terrible job of like – of kind of reiterating to her how that conversation went. Like, I feel like he was like, no, but it wasn't – no, I did say things. I did defend you. Like, it was like
– right. It
was, the biggest issue was his communication and how to – like kind of retell the story of what happened in the barbershop that made him like I saw what happened in the barbershop. And I feel like the way he described it, I was like, that is not really how it went down. Why would you say it like that? You're making yourself look worse. Stop doing that.
Yeah, for sure. I thought he did actually a pretty decent job of defending himself without seeming too defensive to his friends. He's like, that's great. That works for you. Our relationship works for me, you know? And I think that's like just a very nice way of kind of shutting it down.
Right.
But I don't know if Emily really got that he really did come to her defense, even though he did tell her that.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think he got how it went down in terms of defense, because I also don't know what kind of defense she was expecting, right? Was it like,
right.
Was it, no, you people, like African women are not lame. You should have a more bossy, what was like, whatever, you know, you should want a woman who will lead you as much as my beautiful, wonderful wife. I mean, he was just like, no, I like my relationship. I'm happy. And if your guy's relationship works for you, fantastic. This is what works for me. That's like the most defense you can imagine, because we don't want to antagonize his friends and tell them they're pieces of shit because they don't like let their wives be more like assertive in the relationship. Like, that's weird. Who would do that?
I know.
Probably,
yeah.
Rob. Like, but yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. They really don't have that much going. I've heard from a couple of people about Emily and Kobe that they thought she was really one way, you know, when we saw them on the season. And then seeing them on HEA has really kind of shown that, you know, their relationship is pretty solid. And
it is.
And
yeah.
I think it is pretty solid, but I think partially because they do work well together. Emily is a little bossy. I mean, I feel like production was kind of trolling her, like, in a way, like at the beginning of their date, how she's just like, you know, you see this contrast of her being nice to him and then like, wait, you're going to go sit in the front seat? Here's a napkin. You got to cover yourself up, you know?
The front seat thing seemed playful to me. And like, it's weird that they were putting it up as like, oh, look at her being bossy. When he was mm-hmm. like getting in the front seat, she's like, you're not going to sit with me? What are you doing? Like, and he's like, oh, okay, of course I'm going to come sit with you.
Like, yeah, but I was going to say that I think like, even if she is a little bossy, like he's so like easygoing.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's fine. Like they work. And I think part of it is she really does, I think in her mind, think like, it's not me being bossy, it's me getting stuff done. Because she's like, if I wasn't doing this, directing you to do things,
sure,
then things would not get done because you are so laid back.
Right. But I think she does it in a teasing way. And mm-hmm. I think he teases her back. And that's not really like, you know, really highlighted the way, because they're not trying to paint him as being a dick or a bossy person, but it works. And it's not that unusual relationship for like an American couple. I know he's not American, mm-hmm. but like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you want. But I think, yeah, he's different apart from these other Cameroonian guys who were talking to the barbershop. They mm-hmm. seem to be like, no, you'll never be happy if you aren't calling the shots. And he just is a guy who does not care if he's calling the shots.
No, he really doesn't. He's pretty laid back.
Yeah.
I mean, and it helps too if you don't have like stress, right? And I sure. think that's kind of the biggest difference between some of these couples that are, you know, constantly fighting. You know, it's they're constantly fighting because they're stressed, whether it's the lack of resources and help. Mm-hmm. Lack of like, you know, a supportive network of friends and family, whether it's like them trying to survive, you know. And I think for them, it like it's helpful that they don't have to worry about money too much because everything is just kind of like, you know, helping them improve their situation. But I mean, they have made themselves at home at her parents' house.
They sure have. They sure have.
Yeah. All right. So it's question mark if we'll see Angela and Michael at some point. I feel like, is this all our couples then?
No, it looks like we're going to get Patrick and Thais next episode.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like I just saw them because Single Life,
yeah,
and John
was on Single
on.
Life. Yeah. But I mean, so far, based on the next on, it looks like it's very much like we want Patrick and Thais. But you have to find some contrived way to make John be there too. Like, that's the
most
important
part. Right, right. We need a way to keep third wheeling it and have this be our storyline.
Right,
sure.
Exactly.
It's not enough that your third wheel is already your child.
Right.
You need another one.
We need the Boston guy. Bring back the Boston guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think in a weird way, he is kind of a crowd favorite, which is how he ended up on Single Life.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I think. Once it becomes so too contrived, it can start to grate pretty quickly, I think. So I'm a little nervous about that.
Well, you know, to be honest, I actually did like John up until he was on Single Life. And it's not anything that he did on Single Life specifically, but he's a better side character, but it was really like the person he chose.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Like, mm-hmm. I was just like, what are you thinking? And then, you know, when people pick crappy partners, and not even like this woman is a crappy partner, it's just like a weird match for them.
It is,
right?
It was a weird match.
Like,
yeah.
Like, she wanted things that it didn't seem like he was ready for. And it's just like, why are you forcing this to happen? when, you know, people kind of force themselves to be in these situations, it makes me kind of question their general judgment. And so definitely lost a couple points in the John fan pile for me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Is that everybody, right, then? That's everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Speaking of fans, who was your student of the week?
I mean, I really don't want to give it to Kobe every week, but I literally went through the rest of the list and I was like, nope, they didn't. Nope. They possibly Jasmine, but all she did was cry. Like, she didn't take any steps forward to actually solving the problem.
Well,
it was just
the steps forward is to try, like, manipulate Gino behind the scenes.
Yeah,
so,
I guess so. Yeah, sure. That which isn't exactly a winner thing. So I guess Kobe, right, by default.
I went with Ashley, and I mean, you know, she is not my favorite as an individual person, but I appreciated the fact that she was open-minded enough to go to the Catholic Church, right? And that she was patient enough when she realized that he had made a critical city error. Name mistake. Uh-huh. Yeah. And didn't get mad at him for it, you know, like recognizing that it was an innocent mistake. So, you know, Ashley, she's trying. I'll give it to her. All right. What about your dunce?
I'm going to say Gino. Like, I went to go back and forth for a couple photos. I'm going to say Gino just for, like, man, these dumbass excuses he's making.
Yeah.
Like, just covering his ass. Well, it would arguably be 8 months anyway. Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So
I went
annoying.
With Gino, too, because it's like, oh, it's your fault. They're your kids. It's like, that excuse is not applicable to this situation. You know, there's plenty of other times you can throw that out to a parent, but this is not one of them.
Right. I didn't pick your kid up from school and he had to wait there for hours. But really, isn't that your fault because it's your kid? Like.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that ultimately your responsibility? You shouldn't have trusted me. I mean, that's what it ended up doing, though.
Yeah.
You're the one who made the mistake for trusting me here. Let's both
be honest.
Well,
and that's the thing. She didn't trust him, you know? And that's what makes it even more frustrating. She was trying to get a lawyer the entire time. She didn't trust him.
Sure. True. True.
Oh, my gosh. This guy. All right. What about your life lesson?
Don't bring your relationship problems to your friends together.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to complain to your friends about your relationship problems. That's fine. People are okay with that. Like, but don't air them in front of your friends. Don't, you know, make it a big deal about like Nicole is about to do this with Mahmood, right? I'm going to come and like have this thing. And this, it's everything that Rob did is like, you're like, just don't fight in front of your friends. Put on a cool face, be cool, and hash it out later.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. In fact, my life lesson was kind of along the same lines. I was thinking about them, but I was also thinking about Kobe. You know, like, don't compare your relationship to your friend's relationship, you know, because just as Kobe said, what works for you may work for you, but, you know, what works for others is going to be their own thing. So you can't just say, like, look at my model relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So we are just getting started with this group.
Yeah.
We're only a few episodes in. So we will be back again next week. And then I think Love After Lockup is happening in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. I think it's toward the end of the month. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking in the middle. So
maybe we'll figure it out when it happens.
Yeah. Coming soon.
All
so
right.
Until further notice.
Okay.
All right. So until next week.
All right. Talk to everybody then.
Okay.
Bye. Good.